Hi, everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food. Thank you for joining me today. You're in for a treat. I have with me your most favorite guest on this program, Gary DeMattei.
Whoa!
And you know what's...
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Gary.
Hi, Karen.
Now, what's special about this particular interview is I think just about every other time I've had Gary on the program, we've been in the same place.
Now, as in the same state, right?
Yeah, like either we've been in the same state and usually in different rooms in the same apartment.
Right.
Or something like that. But actually, I'm on the East Coast and you're on the West Coast.
Boo-hoo.
And this has been going on for far too long, actually. Gary went out to California at the end of December. His dad was in the hospital. And then he died in February. And I was in California with you for about 3.5 weeks.
3.5 short weeks.
Short weeks. And then I came home to New York. And you're still there because you have a lot of...
Yeah, now we have a lot of stuff to do.
A lot of stuff to do to kind of wrap up your dad's life.
Right. So I'm still here, and you're out there dealing with your stuff.
Yeah, and I have stuff too. But you know what I was thinking of? I was thinking that all you It's All About Food listeners out there, you're actually getting a very small slice of the It's All About Food show, because the It's All About Food show goes on like 24/7 when Gary and I are together, because most of the time we talk about food.
It goes on 24/7, whether we're together or whether we're apart.
Or asleep or awake, right?
Right. Or dreaming. We're dreaming about food.
We've had some good food dreams.
Yeah, oh yeah, really good food dreams. I was dreaming about your everything flatbread the other night. And I was thinking about it today, knowing that we were going to be talking later, and I wanted to look it up again because you're very clever when you named that flatbread, because you're naming it after the everything bagel. And I thought that was really cool because it looks like the everything bagel, only flat. And so much better for you than a bagel. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today, right? What stuff is made out of and how the stuff that we make is so much better for you.
What stuff is made out of? So this everything flatbread, I might have mentioned it last week. I forget when I invented it, but I made it sometime last week. And I posted the recipe at responsibleeatingandliving.com if you're curious. And it does look like an everything bagel, but the everything bagel has a few ingredients that this one doesn't. One is it has little bits of garlic.
Garlic,
and
right.
I could have gotten some kind of granulated garlic or maybe chopped up some garlic, minced it, but I didn't. And you could do that. Anybody can put whatever they want on the everything flatbread. I've just made my recommendations. But the other ingredient that I wanted
to drum roll.
That is not on our everything flatbread, but it's definitely on the everything bagel, it's a four-letter word, folks.
Salt.
Salt.
Salt. I knew where you were going with this, Karen.
You knew where I was going.
What a great segue.
Okay.
I'm glad I brought up the everything flatbread.
Thank you.
Yes. Now let's talk about salt.
Let's talk about salt. So raise your hand. Who knows how many milligrams are in a teaspoon of salt?
I don't.
Okay. It's about 2,300. 2,325, I think, is the number I read, milligrams. And what's interesting about that number is that's just about the recommended maximum of salt you should consume in a day.
Oh, my gosh.
And in fact, 1,500 milligrams is what I think ideal is. It's what Dr. Furman recommends. And it's also what's considered, what do they call it? The AI. What does AI stand for? Approved intake or I got to check it. Everybody knows what AI stands for. Artificial intelligence. Yeah, it stands for adequate intake.
Adequate intake.
And 1,500 milligrams is the adequate intake of sodium for adults. And what's interesting is March 5th, there was a report that came out based on a study undertaken by the Committee to Review the Dietary References Intakes for Sodium and Potassium by the National Academies, and they have a website, the National Academy of Sciences. Their website is nationalacademies.org. And this was sponsored by, drumroll, Health Canada, U.S. National Institutes of Health, Public Health Agency of Canada, U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, U.S. Department of Agriculture, and U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is big. Mm-hmm. Everybody was represented in this committee, and their findings simply reaffirm this adequate intake and maximum intake of salt, and talking about how too much can really cause chronic disease. And Then the next day, there was a press release by the Salt Institute. And I don't know how many people are familiar with the Salt Institute. There's a lot of these institutes out there that have nice names and nice funding behind them, but they're not really nice.
No.
The Salt Institute's been around since, like, I don't know, 1914 or something, the early 1900s. And they are closing their doors at the end of this month, the end of March 2019.
Oh, my goodness.
And so there have been some really good articles with the title, Salt Institute to Dissolve.
Yeah, I love that.
Okay, I love that. That's like a New York Post kind of title, but it was actually an article with the Center for Science in the Public Interest. And they were writing that about the Salt Institute and how they've been putting out all kinds of misinformation for a long time about sodium intake and health. And they just kept saying that Americans are eating the right amount of sodium and it's fine.
Right.
And this has just been rejected pretty firmly by every health authority that we're familiar with.
Yeah.
In this report. And this,
and it's not to say that, no, go ahead, continue.
I just wanted to add that the study that I just mentioned, they concluded that cutting current levels of salt consumption would not only lower blood pressure, but also the risk of cardiovascular disease.
Right. That's big news. But it's old news.
It's old news that's getting more confirmation, which is the world that we live in.
Right. And it's good that we're talking about it, because this program is all about the public interest, as everyone out there listening knows. So we're going to try to bring you some updates on how you can cut the salt out of your diet.
Yes.
And still feel like you've got some flavor in the food, right?
We've been talking about salt on the show for a long time and why you don't want to eat it and why we don't include salt in our recipes. There may be a handful that have a little bit or an optional salt addition, but we don't recommend it.
Right. In addition to all of the other things that we are trying to alert the public about, it's good to stay on salt because it's in everything that you buy in package form. And even if you are trying to or are succeeding in transitioning to a plant-based diet or are a plant-based eater, and you buy some of these products that are now revolutionizing the packaged food industry. I mean, so many, you're hearing so much now about different companies jumping on the plant-based bandwagon, and cheese, for example, There's a lot of plant-based cheese out there, or you can't really call it cheese, can you? They use a lot of salt.
It depends on the state that you're in.
Right.
Whether you can call it cheese or not.
And so we'll be talking a little bit about that today as well, and about some of these transition foods, and they're not necessarily healthy. Even though they say they're vegan, they're not really healthy for humans. They're healthy for the animals because we're not slaughtering animals to make these products, but the humans that are eating them, you know, there's some questionable ingredients in there.
Yeah. So before we talk about specific foods, I wanted to talk about this transitioning thing you brought up, because when people are transitioning to a healthy whole food plant diet, their taste buds may not be ready. And exactly. It takes a while to kind of detox and clear out everything so that your taste buds work again. Because all that oil and salt and sugar have kind of numbed your taste buds. Who remembers, it was a few weeks ago, I was talking to Chef AJ, and she was talking about how oil, even though chefs believe oil brings out the flavor in food, the aromatics, and gives food flavor, the oil also coats the tongue and makes it more difficult for the taste buds to taste.
That makes so much sense. That is such a strong visual. The oil coating the tongue, and then the salt. And then the salt dissolves the oil on the tongue, and that's why salt and fat go so well together to destroy the taste buds.
So when you're transitioning, and some passionate vegan like me might say, "Here, right. Try this; it's fantastic," and then somebody might taste it and go, "What? This is bland. This needs salt."
Right. There's that word, bland.
Bland and needs salt. So when we're learning that salt isn't really healthy to eat, and all of the top health organizations now are saying that we do not need to consume a lot of salt, and we need to watch the salt that we take. This is a challenging thing. And a lot of restaurants, some of them vegan, and then some of, especially the ones that aren't, that are offering vegan options, they pile on the salt because they don't know what they're doing.
Right. Very scary.
Watch out for the salt.
So as we've talked about before on this show, when we've talked about salt, salt is a mineral, obviously, and it's composed primarily of sodium chloride. Right, which is
There are different kinds of salts, but the one we're talking about that's in table salt is primarily sodium chloride.
Right, and so there are other things that you can use that give you that same kind of salty experience. Correct? Am I correct in saying this? For example, lemon juice.
Yes.
That certainly cuts the grease. That would cut the grease off of your tongue, lemon juice.
Oh, yeah. And I love lemon juice in soups. Now, I might go a little overboard and make them too lemony, but I like putting lemon in lentil soup, especially.
Right, it's excellent. And also, another salty substitute is vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're talking about here are basically acidic liquids, right? We're talking about vinegar and lemon juice have an acidic component.
Yes, and not to change the subject.
No, go ahead.
But for people that are learning about alkaline and acidity when it comes to digestion, and you've been hearing that you need to have an alkaline balance, an alkaline background, and what that means is when we digest certain foods, the result in our body is alkaline versus acidic. It doesn't mean that the foods themselves are alkaline or acidic, because lemon juice and vinegar are both acidic, but when we digest them, they leave a neutral to slightly alkaline balance. So, right.
So they're good for you.
They're good for you.
Exactly my point. And, but a lot of people aren't going to be able to cut the salt right off the bat, especially if they're transitioning to a plant-based diet. And a lot of these products that are coming out on the market that are now vegan and or plant-based products, for example, vegan cheese, I mean, they use a lot of salt and they use a lot of fat. So how do you know? And then they use a lot of other ingredients that just because they're vegan, as I'm reading through these, I'm kind of alarmed at ingesting any of this stuff because I don't know what it is. So for example, we have a, go ahead. Did you need
to? I just wanted to say that most animal cheeses are also, they're full of saturated fat and salt.
Exactly. So we're going to discuss today what the less of the two evils are. And I'm sure everybody already knows what that is. But for example, you're in the grocery store now and you're hearing a lot about these cheeses that are out on the market, like Daya cheddar or Daya cheddar. we have an argue. We have a really fun argument about how you pronounce Daya. Or
Daya.
Right. It's Daya cheddar. And so some of the ingredients in Daya cheddar or this So Delicious cheddar or this Veo Life cheddar, I'll just read some of these ingredients. So we've got filtered water, which is good. Tapioca flour, expeller pressed non-GMO canola oil and or safflower oil, coconut oil, pea protein, salt, inactive yeast, vegan natural flavors, whatever that is, vegetable glycerin, xanthan gum, yeast extract, citric acid, vegan for flavor, annatto for color, titanium dioxide, a naturally occurring mineral. And some of them have konjac gum, lactic acid, cellulose, for example. So these things sound very scary, don't they?
Yeah.
Are they harmful?
Well, I was laughing when you said titanium dioxide because my first job out of college was working for DuPont at a titanium dioxide white pigment manufacturing plant.
And what is, again, I know you've said this before on the show, but what is titanium dioxide and why is it in my food?
Well, it's made of titanium and oxygen. Mm-hmm. And it's white.
A naturally occurring mineral. And so it makes paint white, correct? It
gives paints, papers, plastics, and food. And it's approved as an additive. So it's not supposed to do us any harm in small quantities.
Exactly.
But I'd rather not eat it. How about you?
I'd rather not eat it. And so that was the ingredients for, and they vary slightly, Daya cheddar, So Delicious cheddar, and Veo Life cheddar. Now, here's my pick if you want to stick to something that's really mostly food.
Mm-hmm.
So, Miyoko has a cheddar. It's called Sharp Farmhouse. And the ingredients in that seem a little bit more palatable.
Mm-hmm.
She starts with filtered water. And then she has an organic rice miso, which is made of organic rice, water, salt, and koji culture. And then she has nutritional yeast, sea salt, fermented oregano, flaxseed and plum, cultures. A rich Malbec provides delightful balance to these wonderful sharpness of this aged English farmhouse vegan cheese wheel. Okay, now Malbec is a wine, so she puts a little wine in there. And so that to me, all of those ingredients, yes, there's some salt in there, there's no denying, but that seems like food to me. And then so if you're gonna buy some cheddar that is not made with animal products, I would say, and I like Miyoko, I would say try Miyoko's Sharp Farmhouse as opposed to these other ones. And then there's another tree line. There's a product called Tree Line cheeses or vegan cheeses. And Tree Line to me also has some very simple ingredients. They use no palm oils. They're soy-free, they're gluten-free, and they do a French-style creamy cheeses. And in their ingredients are just cashews, filtered water, and then spices, onion powder, sea salt, dried scallions, lemon juice, and L-acidophilus. What is L-acidophilus?
Yeah, so it's a probiotic.
Right.
And it's found, I think it's found in milk products too, but it's probably not derived from milk.
Right. It's all vegan. This tree line product is vegan and it's non-GMO and they use lemon juice in there as well. So, I mean, just those, and I'm sure there are other examples, and I know you've listened to this program before and you've always heard Karen say, read the labels, read the labels, read the labels. And it can be frightening because you think on the one hand, you're doing a great thing by transitioning to a plant-based diet and buying these vegan products. On the other hand, how good are they for you?
Yeah.
And so we need to talk about, if you don't cook, make sure you read the labels because there are some products that are better than others.
I'm reading another label right now for chow cheese, field roast chow slices.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are definitely a processed food. They look like American cheese slices. American cheese is an American processed food.
Right, exactly.
But it's not terrible. And can I read the ingredients?
Yes.
Filtered water, coconut oil,
mm-hmm.
modified corn, potato starch.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has fermento chow tofu, which is soybeans, water, salt, sesame oil, and calcium sulfate. And the calcium sulfate, we talked about that last month when we talked about how to coagulate tofu. And that's one of the ingredients that's used. And then it has sea salt, natural flavor, olive extract, which is an antioxidant used as a preservative, and beta carotene.
Right. Not bad.
That's not bad.
Chow is not bad. I like chow products. But I don't use any of these. Well, once in a while, if we're going to put a gift basket together, we'll add maybe a wheel of a tree line or a wheel of Miyoko's in with our, you know, gift baskets that we give to friends that are having parties where they're serving meat and we want to just be present and we give a gift of vegan products. with a little smirk on our faces, like, thanks for inviting us. Here's our little gift basket for the host. But we also would much rather make our own. And we have a lot of great, for example, this Bio Life that I was telling you, a lot of people cannot give up cheese, which is why I continue to talk about cheese. Every time I talk to somebody about transitioning to a vegan lifestyle or a plant-based lifestyle without any animal products, they say the same thing to me. And I know you're all out there listening to this and you're saying, gosh, that's all you talk about, Gary, but it's all they talk about. So I just have to regurgitate this to you, no pun intended.
True.
I can't give up cheese. I can't give up cheese. And it's good news that there are now these cheeses out there that people can actually buy and eat and they'll feel better about it. And some of them are actually really good. But it's so, if you take the lead from Tree Line, which is just cashews and spices and herbs and a little lemon juice, you don't even need the sea salt. You could add miso, which I know is salt, but it's actually, I guess I'm not as guilty when I use miso as I am when I use regular salt. I don't know why. Tell me why. I don't know.
Okay, because you're getting a little less salt, and depending on the miso you use, like we use South River miso, mm-hmm. they use less salt than in the more traditional Japanese misos, and it gives you a more layered dimension of flavors rather than just salt.
Right. So, and it's really not that difficult to make a cheese sauce with cashews, some nutritional yeast, some lemon juice, and a little miso. I mean, it's like a nacho cheese sauce. It's like, and we have that on our website. And so this Bio Life also has Parmesan. And a lot of people say, ah, how can you give up Parmesan? Oh, I have to have my Pecorino Romano. I have to have my Parmesan.
I have to have my dirty socks.
Right. And this Bio Life now has come out with a hard block of a Parmesan type cheese that you can actually grade, and it actually smells like dirty socks and it tastes like it. And it's, you know, they're really going for it, which I think is great. But have you tried nutritional yeast, friends? Because I'm sure a lot of you haven't. And if you get past the name nutritional yeast, which took me a while to get past, I had this really horrible image whenever I heard people say, just use a little nutritional yeast. And once I got past that hang up, it's really all you need. It's a perfect substitute for Parmesan, as far as
Gary,
I'm concerned. Yes.
I never knew that you had that reaction to nutritional yeast. You never
shared
that with me.
I always thought of yeast as something that, you know, you use to rise when you made bread.
Or a yeast infection?
No, I didn't even think of the yeast infection, but that's a good one
or
too.
Or brewer's yeast, which is so vile to taste.
Right. It's none of that. It should be called Parmesan substitute. And you know, you can play around with it. You could add herbs and spices to it. You can, you know, if you need a little salt in it. But it, to me, it's already salty. I mean, it's salty enough. It's like, for me, the best salt substitute out there. And you know, I'm not saying I'm salt free, because I'm not. I use a little miso. I use a little gluten-free tamari once in a while. I use, that's about it. Those are the only things. Oh, and I eat some olives every now and then, and those have a lot of salt, right?
Yeah. Olives. You've made tremendous, tremendous strides.
Right. Thank you, Karen. So there are...
Did I say strives? Strides.
You may have said strives, but yes. I knew what you meant.
I knew that.
What's more important, so did your listeners.
I know. It was silly.
So let's go back to your seeded everything flatbread. If somebody wanted to put some salt on the flatbread, for example, something salty, might I suggest some nutritional yeast?
Oh, all right. You could also, depends on if you like the flavor, you could sprinkle a tiny bit of kelp powder on it.
Right.
Because kelp is salty.
That's what I was going to say. Mary's crackers. Remember you bought some Mary's crackers that had the that were flavored with kelp.
Yes.
Absolutely no salt in Mary's crackers. Now here's a product that's out there on the shelves. It's in the middle of all of the other crackers and things that you'll see in the grocery store that are chocked full of really bad fats and really a lot of salt and a lot of hydrogenated this or, you know, whatever, oils and things. But then you've got this one little box of Mary's crackers, and they are doing some really great work. They don't use any salt. They don't use any anything but all really wonderful ingredients.
And
they had this one ingredient in one of the crackers that is what you just mentioned, the kelp powder or the seaweed.
Yeah, kelp powder.
And
you have to be careful because it has a lot of iodine in it, so you don't want to use a lot.
Right. But that once in a while, if you're having a party and you want to lay out some crackers and some soft French style tree line cheese, that's or maybe some of Karen's everything flatbread, that's a really great thing to smear on that flatbread and give it a little bit of a salty taste.
Yum.
Is kelp powder, just a little.
Yeah.
Or some nutritional yeast. Yeah. So there's a lot going on out there, but you still have to read the labels. A lot of really positive things, a lot of good things for the animals, a lot of good things for the planet. But don't forget about what goes inside your body. Even if it says vegan, it doesn't necessarily mean it's healthy for you. So be on the lookout.
Keeping on this subject, I know I bounce back and forth talking about capitalism and all of the products that are coming out on the market that are vegan, thank God.
Right.
But may not be the best for us, but investors are taking note that there are more people interested in eating plant-based, so they're supporting products that are vegan because there's money in it.
Right.
Because now, there isn't money in organic broccoli, per se, but there's money in manufactured products where you have that, quote, value added. Bars and chips and burgers and cheese and all these things that different ingredients put together because people don't want to make them at home in their kitchen, and they charge money, extra money for them, and that's where they make their profit.
Right. There's money in organic broccoli, but what you're talking about when you say money, you're talking about big investor dollar money. You're talking about there's a lot of venture capitalists out there that are always putting money into things that they think are going to get an enormous return in a very short amount of time. And so what you're talking about is this is where the investors are now focusing a lot of their big funds on. And a lot of these big companies are going to start, like, for example, these big meat companies, they're going to start dabbling more in plant-based meats and things of that nature. And some of them are even going to change their operations entirely. And it's great news for the animals. I mean, I couldn't be happier for our animal friends. But our job here at Responsible Eating and Living is also to alert you that the speculators are out there and, they are going to be trying to get your dollar, and they're not going to be too concerned with your health. And just, if I may interject one more thing here, that Mary's cracker that I was talking to you about is called Super Seed, which is, I love the name, and it's a Super Seed seaweed and black sesame cracker. Now, you left a box here, Karen, at Dad's house, and I remember when I first ate them, I thought, they tasted a little weird to me. I wasn't quite... But then I tried them again when I wanted something salty. And I thought, well, maybe the seaweed will give me what I need. And I'm telling you, it worked. It was great. And what the ingredients in the Mary's Gone Crackers Super Seed is, it superseded the salt. Oh, sorry. I just thought that was probably made no sense to anybody out there. But I got a kick out of it. So the ingredients are organic whole grain brown rice, organic whole grain quinoa, organic pumpkin seeds, organic sunflower seeds, organic black sesame seeds, organic brown flax seeds, filtered water. Oh, there is a little sea salt. Darn. I thought I was getting away with it. But it's also got some organic cilantro. But there's that dulse, that seaweed that we're talking about.
Oh, it has dulse in it. Very nice. Dulse has less iodine in it, but that's good.
Okay, so I thought that it didn't have any salt, but you know what?
Okay, let me ask you a question then. Mm-hmm. On the back where it has the nutrition label, how many calories are in a serving size?
Calories, which I don't count. 150.
Okay, and how much sodium is in it?
Sodium, 210 milligrams.
All right, so the rule of thumb... If you're buying a box of processed food, and anything that comes in a box is processed, even Mary's crackers, the rule of thumb is the number of calories, you compare the number of calories with the amount of sodium in milligrams, and you want the sodium to either be equal or less. So it's a little more.
It's a little more than the calories, yeah.
It's not a lot more, but it's a little more, but still... It's
we just learned
something, right? We were reading the labels.
We just learned something by reading the labels. And I don't know why in my head I had that there was no salt, but there is salt. And of course there is. It's a cracker.
Well, maybe they make some. Maybe.
So back to your everything flatbread. It's the perfect food. It's the perfect
food. Yes, because it has no salt in it.
Because it has no salt. Well, no, and because it's got the magic ingredient, which we're going to talk about next, which is garbanzo bean flour.
Woo!
Let's all say that together. Some people garbanzo call it chickpea flour, but we're going to call it garbanzo bean flour because we don't like
like the history behind calling it chickpea flour.
Right. So just know that garbanzo bean flour flatbread, and that's all it is garbanzo bean flour, water, and all of the wonderful seeds that Karen put in it.
And for a long time, we were using Bob's Red Mill garbanzo bean flour. We like Bob and Bob's Red Mill.
Yeah,
we like Bob. But we found another brand. It's expensive.
Right.
But it is amazing. And it's called Namaste.
Namaste.
And they make an organic garbanzo bean flour that is really terrific.
Yeah, it's fabulous. And they don't sell it in a whole lot of places. So we have to order it from Vitacost.
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce it anymore. Is it Vitacost or is it Vitacost?
I don't know. I'll call it whatever you want to call it.
I like calling it Vitacost, but maybe it's Vita from vitamin. So then it would be Vitacost. Yeah, not vitamin, unless you're European or something.
Or it could be Vitacost if you're speaking RP. And we know you're speaking RP lately because you're binging on The Crown, which I read.
Yes, there are times when I might call it Vitacost.
Right. Vitacost.
Vitacost,
so,
darling.
So this Namaste garbanzo bean flour is amazing, everybody. It's amazing. But if you can't get Namaste, then go buy some Bob's garbanzo bean flour.
Because
we're going to talk about just eggs now. Isn't that what?
Last week, I think I talked a little bit about pea processing.
Right.
I just wanted to say it again.
Pea processing.
Because I think it's fun to say pea processing. But there are new plant foods that are being investigated by the food manufacturers, a lot of them to replace soy, which has been so ubiquitous in our processed food options.
Right.
And many people are either afraid of soy unnecessarily because minimally processed whole organic soy foods are healthy unless you have an allergy to soy. But soy is in like everything, just like wheat is in everything and salt is in everything and sugar is in everything. And variety is the spice of life. So they're looking into finding other legumes that have interesting properties.
Right.
And the pea is one that's getting a lot of processing, pea processing. And Just Egg has been doing a lot of scientific food science work, and they've come up with the Just Egg, which has mung bean protein isolate in it. It's the second ingredient in their Just Egg ingredient. Has anybody tried Just Egg?
Let's tell everybody what Just Egg is in case you're just joining us.
Okay,
which is not to be confused with Just Egg. Just joining us should not be confused with Just Egg.
Just Egg. All right, a little history first. There was this company founded by Josh Tetrick, and originally it was called Beyond Egg or Beyond Eggs. And the idea behind it was to come up with a product that acted just like eggs.
Mm-hmm.
In any kind of form that could be substituted in industrial food manufacturing,
mm-hmm.
make fast foods and processed foods and do it for a lot less money so that the foods would ultimately cost less to make. But the bottom line is they would save a lot of animals because a lot of chickens wouldn't have to be tortured and raised to make all those eggs.
Right.
So the concept was really great. And then Beyond Eggs became Hampton Creek Foods. And I remember interviewing Josh Tetrick, and I asked him why the name was changed, and he really kind of danced around that question. He didn't want to answer it. But Beyond Meat was out at that time, so maybe they didn't want to have the same ring to Beyond Meat as Beyond Egg.
Right.
And now, of course, you know that Beyond Meat has the Beyond Burger, which is
right.
doing very well. All right, so then it was Hampton Creek Food, and they made a Just Mayo. And right. that got a lot of attention a few years ago from Unilever, who didn't like this vegan mayo getting all the attention and getting market share. Even though there were other vegan mayos out at the time, they didn't have the marketing and the investors behind them like the Hampton Creek Food Just Mayo did. And so Unilever was threatening lawsuits, and then Hampton Creek was getting lots of free press. And in the end, Unilever decided, because Unilever makes Hellmann's mayonnaise and Best Foods mayonnaise.
Right.
And then in the end, they just decided if you can't beat them, join them. They dropped the lawsuit, and a year later, they had their own vegan mayo that was out on the market.
Mm-hmm.
So and now.
Yes.
So you've probably seen Just Mayo out and about. And it's an okay product. What I don't like is it's not organic.
Right.
Organic.
Organic.
And now we have the Just Egg product. And let me just
read. From plants, not chickens. That's their catchphrase.
Which is great.
Yeah, so it's great. Like I said, it's great. All of this stuff is great for the animals.
Great for the animals. So here's the Just Egg ingredients. Water, mung bean protein isolate, expeller press canola oil, and then less than 2% of calcium citrate, enzyme, gel and gum, natural carrot extractives, color, natural flavors, natural turmeric extractives for color, onion puree, salt, soy lecithin, sugar, and drum roll please, tetra sodium pyrophosphate.
Mm. Wow.
Let's say that again, everyone. Tetra sodium pyrophosphate.
Sounds like something that would explode.
Well, tetra means that it has four sodium, and then it has a phosphate molecule that has a bunch of oxygens around it, and that's the tetrasodium pyrophosphate. And Wikipedia says that the toxicity is approximately twice that of table salt when ingested orally.
Well, there you have it.
There you have it. So why they're putting tetrasodium pyrophosphate and not good old sodium chloride, I don't know. But it's twice as toxic. And
so
we were just talking about salt.
Skinning, tell us why you're doing this, because we want our people who listen to know. So if anybody out there from the Just For All company, which is the makers of Just Eggs and Just Mayo, are out there, let us know why you're putting this stuff in and not using just good old-fashioned table salt.
Yeah. And then the other questionable ingredients in there, they use expeller press canola oil. Now,
boo.
Organic canola oil is fine if you're using oil sparingly in your life. Conventional industrial canola oil is not a good product, and it looks like that's what they're using here because they don't specify that it's organic.
Well, it looks like they're really, I mean, because on their website, it asks you, are you a retailer or are you a restaurant? It doesn't ask if you're a consumer.
If you're a human.
Yeah, I think what they're trying to do exactly is they're probably trying to sell this product to, as you mentioned earlier, manufacturers, people who make a lot of Twinkies and a lot of, you know, boxed goods that use a lot of eggs. And so they're trying to replace that component with this component. So
Once again, let's say we really love any product that is going to save animals.
Yes, we really love any product.
We love that, okay?
But we also want to connect the dots here to see what it's doing to what we consider a health crisis here in America, if not the world. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to go from one health crisis to another without knowing, you know, that we're actually doing that.
Now, Gary, I don't know when the last time you made eggs. I know you made eggs for your dad from time to time, but I haven't scrambled an egg in decades.
Right.
I gave up eggs over 30 years ago. But cooking with a beaten egg, when you beat the yolk and the white together and you scramble it, was a fun thing to do. It was amazing how a liquid could solidify in so quickly and in such a beautiful way.
Right.
And I don't know anything else that does that.
If you look on the justforall.com website, you'll see them doing that with this product, Just Egg. It's funny you should say that. But if you go there, there's a video. It's an overhead shot of someone pouring this Just Egg into a saute pan and scrambling it up. And
So it works.
It works, and people will be delighted that are trying to give up eggs to see that this, and it probably tastes great. Mm-hmm. I would personally be afraid to eat it, but you know, that's
it's that tetrasodium pyrophosphate that gives it its.
Well, I just don't really want. I just don't want it. I just don't want that. I don't want that egg taste anymore. I'm done with that. I'm done with. I don't want to clone things that, you know, was a derivative of something that went through pain and torture. I think that this is just continuing to support that mindset. So I am over it. But what I do like to do is I like to work with chickpea flour because it gives me, garbanzo bean flour, because it gives me the same results as when I used to cook with eggs, and it's much tastier. Eggs used to make me, I've told you this, they used to make me belch kind of a sulfury.
Yeah, that sulfur flavor. When I smell eggs cooking somewhere, people cooking eggs, it makes me ill. Yeah.
Yeah. So chickpea flour doesn't, or garbanzo bean flour doesn't do that. And, but it does behave the same way as, you know, it works the same way. You can make frittatas and you can make, flatbreads, and you can make all kinds of really great stuff.
So when we're making our quote eggs in our house, my approach is a little different than your approach, and both of them are fun, and we have recipes on our website with both of them. So when you make your omelets and frittatas, you tend to use a little tofu, which is a little chunky, and the garbanzo bean flour, right?
Well, I do a lot of different things, but yeah, I mean, if you wanted to, if you just wanted to do a soy-free frittata, you wouldn't need to put any tofu or tempeh in it, but I like to add some of the crumbled tofu into my frittata, but also I like to do it without. But I always add something, like I'll add a green, like a sauteed green, a spinach, or a kale. And then I'll, you know, just the same method you chefs out there use when you you make a frittata is you do the layer of whatever you're using, and then you pour the chickpea flour batter over it, and then you bake it in the oven. It's fantastic.
And I love making the soca or the garbanzo bean flour crepe.
Right.
Because it's the most fun omelet you'll ever make. It's easy and it's like an omelet.
Right.
You can put stuff in it or you could roll stuff in it. And we have a whole bunch of recipes for that. So if you're into clean eating,
which you should be, garbanzo
bean flour is...
is clean. Yeah, and now we found a great source for a organic garbanzo bean flour, because it was difficult for us to find and now we've found it. And that's, you know, that's really cool. I really think it's the next step. I know I go into the grocery store and the organic shelves are clean, and sitting next to it is the conventional, and they're packed. So a lot of people want to eat organically. A lot of people don't want pesticides and herbicides in their food.
Yeah, that's definitely happening, at least in the neighborhoods where we shop. May not be right. So in the rest of the world, but we're making headway.
Yeah, in all areas, which is great. And again, let me preface it again by saying we are happy that these products are coming out on the market, because less and less animals are going to be tortured and slaughtered. So that's fantastic. Well, at least here in America. But for us
snobs who want to eat clean.
Right. Because there are diseases that we're not quite sure what, you know, what the contributors are, and who knows what some of these things do.
Exactly. I was mentioning this last week, because there have been many, 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 many studies done on soy. And many of the studies have been done on soy protein isolate. And for the most part, these studies are positive, but we're concerned about the soy protein isolate because it is so highly processed. And right. Then what about pea isolate or mung bean isolate?
Right.
We don't know.
We don't know. And that's, to me, is until we know, I'm going to try to stay away from it.
Yeah, and until again, we know, I'm going to eat plain mung beans.
Right.
And plain peas and plain garbanzo beans and maybe a flour made from any of those, but not made from an isolated protein of those products. Not the same.
Right. As you would say, minimally processed. And so a garbanzo bean flour or a mung bean flour is minimally processed. You can do it at home. You could buy the dried garbanzo bean, and you could get a grinder and grind it up and make your own flour. And that's what we're talking about processing. You could process it in your grinder.
That's next. That's one of the next steps I want to get to.
Right. Buy a 25-pound bag of dried garbanzo beans, organic, and buy and invest in a good food mill, something that'll mm-hmm. grind that stuff up into a flour. And there you have it. Make your own tofu. You know, we should just start a responsible eating and living commissary where people can send us their food orders, and we'll send you your food. How about that? You people like that idea out there? Great. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that next time I'm on the show.
We just might talk about that next time, Gary.
That's right. And I've had a good time talking to you today, Karen.
Me too.
How much time do we have left, speaking of time?
You know, I'm not really sure, but we have maybe 2 or 3 more minutes.
Okay.
And what I wanted to say.
So what's going on next week?
Exactly.
On It's All About Food.
Next week, we have to have a big party.
Because it's your 10-year anniversary.
My 10-year anniversary of It's All About Food. I'm getting a little teary-eyed just thinking about it. 10 years. What are we going to do? We need some champagne.
Yeah, a little champagne. We have to bring out the champagne. And yes, some champagne is vegan. And how do you know if it's vegan? You go to barnivore.com and type it in. And see if they have it on their list.
Well, I hope everybody joins us for our 10th anniversary party of It's All About Food.
That'll be fun. We're going to have some surprise guests. I might even be back on. Who knows?
Who knows?
Right.
But meanwhile, Gary, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me on the show, Karen, all the way from California.
I know. I miss you. And I love talking about food with you.
I love talking about food with you, and I love you.
Oh, did you hear that? I love you too.
Okay, bye, Karen.
Wait. I just want to say that on this show, we not only do we tune in live, but we tune in what, everybody? We tune in love.
We tune in love. Woo!
That's what it's all about, love.
That and food. It's all about food and love.
Okay, bye. I'm Karen Hartglass. You've been listening to It's All About Food. My guest today has been the amazing Gary DeMattei. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, Karen.
Everybody have a delicious week. Bye-bye. Thank you.